Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing? I'm glad you're here. Are you loving this beautiful Florida weather? I am. Let me give you an update on our move to Gainesville. How many of you know we want to move to Gainesville? And we're going to move to Gainesville. We've been talking about it for years. And really, a year and a half ago, we said, you know, we're just going to pull out all the stops. And it took a while. We found a place. We're in the process of fixing it up. There was a work day yesterday. Lots of fun was had. And lots of work got done. In fact, we have a little video clip, just a little synopsis of what happened yesterday. Go ahead and roll the video.
We filled up this humongous dumpster. Come on. That's a lot of work. Nice.
All right. That was my desk. You destroyed my desk. No, just we decided we didn't want it. All right, boy, a lot of work got done. Give a hand to all the people that showed up, got out there, worked. It was a great, great work day. I just want to tell you, we have some of the most awesome people in the world in our church. I mean, just great attitudes, having fun, doing some nasty work, hard work, lots of work. But boy, we really accomplished a lot, filled up both dumpsters. There was two, and there was just a lot of stuff around there. But we got a lot done. We're moving along. So praise the Lord. We told you we wanted to raise $55,000 for the construction costs and materials. So far, we have received $23,034. So praise the Lord. So we're going to be working. The construction crew is starting. He told me he could start next Monday, week from tomorrow. He's going to start doing work. So still planning on being in there January. We're going to be having work days every Saturday until we tell you. Probably when we get close to Christmas, we'll stop them, but just go ahead and put it on your calendar. Also, we can accommodate different days of the week if you let us know. That's why we have the sign-up sheets. Put down your name and your contact number, also any tools that you have or skills that you have, and there's a place for the best time for you. So if there, you know, we can try to work a schedule around your schedule and set up maybe different work days. We'll definitely have the Saturday work days. I'll be there this Saturday, planning on bringing my tractor. We're going to yank some stuff out. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be great. We still have a lot of work to do. A lot of progress was made, but it's coming along. It's a great building. It's a great facility. It's going to be great for us. It's a good location. It's going to be great for us to be there closer to people. That's our heart. The reason we want to move is to win souls, make disciples, you know, touch more people, be in contact with more people. It's going to be a great place for us. So thank you for helping. It really was a great work day. All right, so the sign-up sheets are available after service. There's going to be one back here in this corner, one by the door, and one in the lobby, along with all the other sign-up sheets that are out there. There's a lot of sign-up sheets going on right now. All right, praise the Lord. There are sermon notes in your, I wanted to tell you about someone called me. They used to go to our church, a couple that went to school and graduated and moved away about 10 years ago, and they were in town, called me, wanted to get together, and gave me a check for $1,000 for the building fund. So praise the Lord. So that's on top of that figure there. So it's coming in. Also, it's on Facebook. If you don't know how to share that. You can see Pastor Mike or Michael Crames, and multiple thousands of dollars have come in by people becoming aware of it. In fact, this couple learned about it on Facebook, and they were in town, said, I want to talk. So I think I would attribute about $8,000 so far to putting it on Facebook and making people aware of it. So it's something you can do. All you have to do is share it. You see it, you know, pull it up on your thing and hit share. If you can put a comment if you want, or you can just share it, and then people become aware, and if God puts it on their heart, they can contribute. So that's been a big blessing for us. So if you're not sure about that or how to use it, see somebody. We'll show you how to do that. All right, so there are sermon notes in your worship guide, but if you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers have some extras. They'd love to give you one if you need another one. Before we get in our message, I heard about these two skunks. They were coming home from their small group meeting, and they saw a hunter walking through the woods with a rifle. And the one skunk says to the other, you think he's going to shoot at us? And the other one said, bowed his head and said, I don't know. Let us spray. Get it? Let us.
Got it.
Okay, all right. You got it. It just wasn't that good. Okay, I get it. The title of my message today, you're going to be excited about this. May all your dreams come true. Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't that be great? If I could just wave a wand and make all your dreams come true, would anybody sign up for that? If we had a sign-up sheet that when you leave here tomorrow, all your dreams would come true. Isn't that a fabulous thought? Well, you know what? That's my prayer for you. My prayer for you is that all your dreams would come true. Now, I believe when we have dreams in the process of Christianity, we realize that some of our dreams weren't God dreams. They were just our dreams. Some are dreams from the flesh. Some are dreams that other people gave us. But in your heart, there are God dreams. They're just awesome dreams. You can usually tell a God dream by several things. Number one, it's bigger than you could ever imagine that you could accomplish in your own. It's not something you can accomplish. It's going to take supernatural power, God. That's an indicator of a God dream. Also, it blesses other people. Also, it blesses you because you know what? God wants to bless you. From Genesis to Revelation, throughout the Bible is the word blessed, to be made happy, prosperous, fortunate, impossible to curse. And that's the desire of God to bless you. So a God dream blesses you, enables you to bless other people. It brings glory to God, and it's too big for you to accomplish in your own. So look at your dreams, think about your dreams. And in the process of Christianity, when we come in, we realize we had some dreams that were just our dreams. They were flesh dreams. They were dreams other people gave us. But there are down in your heart, God, in everybody's heart, there are God dreams. And those are the dreams that I want to come to pass in your life. And I want to tell you today that it is possible. And also, I want to look at scriptures that tell us it not only is it possible, but it's God's desire for those dreams to come true. No matter how young you are, how old you are, there's a God dream, and never give up on that God dream. Look at this verse, Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Probably most of you are familiar with this. You've heard it. Everybody knows the second half of it. Sometimes we don't know the whole verse, but delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So right there it tells us, it is God's business and God's desire to fulfill the desires of our heart, especially, particularly the ones that he put there. He put them there for a reason, to motivate us, to drive us, to cause us to discipline our lives in certain ways. You have a dream. Why does anybody undergo, like going through college? You know, there's plenty of opportunities to quit. Lots of things that you do in your life, if it's exercise or dieting or learning and growing and spending time in the Word or serving, they take discipline because we want to get somewhere. There's some place for you to arrive at. And it says, God says it's his desire. He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, as a church, and I hope this is all of our hearts, that we're in the business of helping people find and fulfill their God-given destiny. I believe everybody on the planet was created with a destiny, yes, with a purpose, something to accomplish. Nobody is just random. Nobody appeared on the earth without the foreknowledge, forethought, and foredesign of God. God created us in our mother's womb with a purpose, and it is our desire as a church to help people find and fulfill the destiny that God created for you. We're not going to tell you what it is. We're not here to give you a destiny. You've already got a destiny. But what I found in life, that the devil and the curse and sin and the world and busyness and life and going and doing and working and changing diapers and cutting grass and paying bills wars against us fulfilling that God-given destiny in our life. You just get caught up in the busyness of life, and sometimes we just think that's all there is. You ever said, is this all there is? I think there's a song like that, right? Is that all there is? Sometimes you just get so, and you know, no, that's not all there is. There's much more to life than just the busyness of life. First of all, there's eternity, and this life is preparation for eternity. It's a test. It's testing us. It's trying us. It's proving us. It's making us stronger, and it's preparing us to be face-to-face with God, spend eternity with God, be able to travel through the universe, see what the next phase of this journey is like. There's a reason you're on this planet. There's a reason you discipline yourself and strive every day. There's something good to look forward to. And we as a church, it is our desire to help people find and fulfill their God-given destiny. Hopefully, that's your desire. Now you say, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that either myself. But what I do know that as we come together as a team, we can make that happen. What I've found out is no person can accomplish that on their own. But when we realize that we have strengths and we have weaknesses, and that God puts us all together, we become much better together. We're better together. And together, we win souls, we make disciples, we help people find and fulfill their destiny. I was thinking about the people you saw the video. You know, why are they scrubbing tiles and pressure washing? Because what they're doing is helping people find and fulfill their destiny. That's why everybody was doing that. Because we know that I'm not just scrubbing this toilet. This is part of a bigger picture, a plan to help people find and fulfill their destiny. And so that is our desire, but that is the desire of God, that he will give you the desires of your heart. And as a church, we want to help people fulfill their dreams. And you know what? That is the Father's business. That's what church is. It's the Father's business. That's why we work at the soundboard and make coffee and serve in the nursery or the parking lot or come during the week or clean and do this stuff, because we want to be about the Father's business, which he's concerned about people fulfilling their destiny and not letting the devil steal your destiny from you or anybody that you know. I want your dreams to come true. John Osteen, the father of Joel Osteen, how many of you know who Joel Osteen is? I don't know if some of you don't remember his father. I think he died in 1999. He was an incredible, sweet man of God. Met him at a conference. I used to listen to him all the time. I used to just listen to his tapes all the time. He had this little poem. I don't know if he made it up. But it goes like this: how great it is to dream the dream when you stand in youth at the starry stream. But a greater thing is to live life through and to say in the end, the dreams come true. It was great when you're young to have these dreams. It's even better, he says, that when you get to the end, you look back and say, the dreams come true. I don't know if John Osteen fully saw the dream that was in his heart. He certainly was a great man of God, ministered all over the world, was world known. Had a great church, I think of about 6,000 people there at Lakewood Church in Houston. But imagine what he sees when he looks down from heaven. Nobody knew what would happen when his son Joel, who never preached once in his life until after his father died, who was in the background. And now look, they've gone from 6,000 to like 50,000 people. I think now that he looks down and says, the dreams come true. The dreams come true. The dream he had to reach millions. Joel is reaching millions. It was passed on to his son. It was passed on through his genes and through his training. How great it is to fulfill the dream. And that's my prayer for you. And that's what we're going to look at today. Now, I believe the fulfillment of the dream in your heart, the desire and the destiny that God's put in you, the fulfillment of it, is not going to be an event. It's going to be a process. It's like everything in the kingdom of God is a process. You want a tree? You got to find a seed. You got to find, if you want a big oak tree, isn't that a beautiful oak tree? You got to start with an acorn. And you got to plant it. You got to put it in the ground. And the acorn has to die so that it can give life. It's a process. It has to be watered. It needs time. It needs sun. It needs certain nutrients. And then it will, that's the way things work. It's a process. And the fulfillment of the dream that's in your heart is not an event. It will be a suddenly, maybe there will be a suddenly when you see things happen. It's kind of like the Chinese bamboo. It's a plant that, it's a tiny seed, and if you plant it in the ground and water it, about a year from now, you'll see a little sprig shoot up, just about like that, quarter inch. And next year, it'll grow about another quarter of an inch. And the third year, it'll grow another. And then the fourth year, it'll grow. And in the fifth year, it'll be about 2 inches high, a couple little leaves. And you might think at the end of 5 years, the heck with that little thing. You know, what's it doing? I've been feeding it. I've been watering it. I planted it. But don't give up on that dream. Don't give up on that seed, because the Chinese bamboo, in the fifth year, within 3 months, it will grow 90 feet. Why did it take so long? Because imagine this root structure that's necessary to hold in the wind something that's standing up 90 feet in the air. 3 months, it grows 90 feet in 3 months, but it took 5 years to establish the root structure, the stuff that you're going through right now. You might be looking at the top and saying, I don't see much happening. Oh, no, you don't see what God's doing down underneath in your life. He's putting roots. He's changing things. He's pulling things out. He's putting things in. Some of the difficulties that you've been through in life that you think that was so terrible, God didn't cause it, but I guarantee you God will use it. He will use, God causes all things to work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. God's putting roots down. He's changing. He's transforming. He's changing me. I'm so glad he never gave up on me. He's changing me every day. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Can anybody bear witness and say that's the fact of your life also? It's a process. It's a transformation. So let's look at this verse again, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This verse tells me two things. Number one, that God wants us to do something. And number two, so that he can do something. Do you see that in that verse? It's kind of like an if-then. It's a, if you do this, I will do this. That's generally the way things operate in the kingdom of God. God's trying to get us to act like him, think like him. So when I look at this verse, I see that it's telling me two things. God wants us to do something. See, you can't just focus on the second half. You can't just say, well, when's my dream coming? No, it's telling us that there's a transformation that delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So what we need to do is leave God's part to God and take our part to us. You hear me? What that's telling me is I don't have to make my dream come true. What I have to do is examine the motives, the desires, the conditions of my heart so that I can be the person that God can release that blessing upon. First, what is it that God wants to do? Let's look at that verse and kind of pick it apart a little bit. What is it that God wants to do? And the answer is give us the desires of our heart. Fulfill our dreams. Satisfy us. Make us eminently happy and content. Is that a good thing? Well, what does he want us to do? So we got to see, what's God's part? What's my part? So the part that God's part is really good. And then I need to focus on what does he want me to do? What does he want us to do? He wants us to delight ourselves in him. That he would be our highest desire. That he would be our dream. He would be our desire. In other words, what is it, if I could give you anything that you wanted right now, you just give me a list and I gave it to you, would the reason that you want those things be so that I can spend more time with God? That's a test to see if he is truly, you know, we delight yourself in the Lord. If we truly delight ourselves in the Lord, the things that we have set our heart on are things that would enable us to spend more time with God because he's our delight. Or are the things that we're desiring a substitute for God? If they are, then he's not going to bless those, because then it's a false god, right? If the things that we're desiring so that I can spend more time with God, then that shows us that our desires are lining up with where God wants us to be, where he wants us to end up. So let me summarize that verse in my own words. I think I have a slide. Let's put it this way. If we would direct our thoughts, ambitions, motives, and desires to be solely on God, we will be completely satisfied, content, happy, successful, and fulfilled.
That's good.
Let's look at that again. So there's stuff that we have to do, right? There's stuff that only God can do, but there's stuff that only I can do, right? God doesn't force us to do anything. God doesn't force us to pray. God doesn't force us to have faith. God doesn't force us to obey. No, God doesn't force us to take our thoughts captive. God doesn't force us to turn off the computer or not listen to that person. There's things that you and I have to do to be like God, to choose good over evil. If we would direct our thoughts, ambitions, motives, and desires to be solely on God, we will be completely satisfied, content, happy, successful, and fulfilled. I think that's what that verse is saying. That's the way I put it out. Does anybody here want to be completely satisfied, content, happy, successful, and fulfilled? All right, then I'm in the right place. This message is for you. You're my kind of people. Because that's the decision that I made 44 years ago. I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't know what it all entailed. But I had a face-to-face encounter with God, and I told him, I said, I will live the rest of my life for you. And as far as I can tell, the best of my ability, that's the only thing that's important to me. That's the thing that I've been doing. I've been going after. I've made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But I've never changed the decision that I've made, that I'm just going to keep going after God. It's more important than anything else. Interestingly enough, this passage of Scripture gives us the formula for the result to achieve that result. Let's look at it. We're going to look at the whole passage. It's in your notes, Psalm 37, 1 through 11. So we just read verse 4, but verse 4 is the hinge point in this passage, 1 through 11. If you read through this, and you'll see in verse 12, it shifts gears completely and moves on to something else. But 1 through 11 are all talking about the same thing. They're talking about getting the desires of your heart. It didn't start in verse 4. It didn't end in verse 4. It starts in 1 and goes through 11. So you go home and read through this over and over. You're going to see, I'm sure you will agree with me, this is a package, these scriptures. So we have to put it in context, right? A text out of context is a pretext. If you put it in context, then you have an understanding of what God's trying to tell us. So let's go back and look at this one verse at a time. Let's go back to verse 1. It says this, "Do not fret because of evildoers." Now remember, what's the goal? All these things, what we're going to see, I'm going to make a list of things that this passage tells me I'm responsible for. And we know the result is that we're going to receive the desires of our heart. It's not just one thing. It's not just verse 4. There's a list of conditions. There's a list of requirements, challenges, if you will, for me. And I believe if we can get all these things lined up, and as we go through these things, some of them you're going to go, yeah, I got that. And some of them are going to be, ooh, I got to work on that. All right? So what I want you to do is we go through this list, and on the back page of your notes, you can write each of these as we get, and you might highlight or asterisk or something the ones that jump out to you and say, that's what I need to work on. How many think these messages ought to be practical and applicable? It's something we can work on, not just, oh, that's great. What do I have to do? Here's what it is. So the first thing is, do not fret because of evildoers. Now, how many have ever been fearful because of the news, something you saw in the paper, something going on? I remember in Gainesville, I think it was in about 1990, there was these mass murders, and the fear everywhere in Gainesville was palpable. How many were here back then in those days, okay? A bunch, I think it was five or six, maybe seven, five people were killed. That's an evildoer, right? And fear, I mean, you could just feel it in the store everywhere. And it's easy for us to read the paper. And here the Bible, the very first thing is to guard your heart, be protective of your heart, because if we fear, we always do the wrong thing. Do not fret because of evildoers. So I'm going to start making a list of things that God's telling us to do. So the first thing is, do not fret. That's the first one. I'll figure this out. All right, that's what one you can put in your notes. So that's what I have to do, right? That's not God's job. It's easy to fret. I do it all the time, and I have to catch myself. I have to realize this verse is true. Do not fret. So when you catch yourself fretting, first thing you do is say, don't do that. No, stop. It's a struggle. I have to admit, it's a struggle. But the battle can be won. So when you hear bad things happening, all kinds of, whatever is going on that sounds like it might approach you and hurt you, first thing you have to do is do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but sometimes, as you're a Christian, you make these decisions, make sacrifices, and you know that the Word says He's going to bless us, and sometimes you look around and you see people that don't live for God, do all the wrong things, and what? That looks like they're the ones getting the blessing and I'm not. So God's warning us, be very careful. Don't judge by what you see. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. So the next thing there is to not be envious. So these are conditions for our dream being fulfilled, right? So we have to look at ourselves. Am I envious? I look at people and say, well, I wish I had that. How come they? Okay, I got to watch out for that. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Verse 2, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. So you don't want to be them. Just hang on, watch, wait. God is just, God is righteous. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. So there's another one. So that's the next one. Trust. So whatever you're going through right now, there's going to be an element of trusting God, because the answer doesn't always come when we want it. There's always the gap between amen and there it is. And during that period, you have to trust God. When God asks you to do something or give up something and sacrifice, sometimes you it doesn't look trust. You have to trust God. When God asks you, trust. It's like the thing about the child and the father in the pool, just fall and I'll catch you, that trust. Well, that does kind of like that happens every day in life with God. Just trust me, release yourself into my hands. The opposite of that is trusting in yourself or someone else or something or the government or your 501k, the stock market, trusting. Not that you can't be involved in those things, but where is our trust? I think whenever you go to the doctor, I think doctors are wonderful, but I don't put my trust or faith in the doctor. I put my faith in God to have the doctor tell me the right thing and give me the right stuff, because they make mistakes too. Trust in God. And the next thing, trust in God and do good. So there's another thing that we can do. Do good. What is that? Well, that list, we could go on and on with that. Things to do. The Bible says, him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sometimes you know to do good. So, what are some examples? Like serving in the church someplace, giving to the building fund, tithing, going to the work party, helping other people find and fulfill their destiny, being kind. That's being good. Just being kind, just smiling at somebody that you want to slap them. But you smile instead. That's, giving, so that's doing good, or being generous. So do good. The next thing is dwell in the land. This is an interesting. So dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. What is he talking about here? Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. So let's come back to faithfulness, but let's talk about what does it mean to dwell in the land. I think this is something that all of us sometimes fall prey to, is that sometimes we're someplace we don't want to be, and so we're not all there. We're not all there. Now, I would just encourage you, wherever you're at, be all there. Sometimes you're in a place where you don't want to be, but God's got you there for a reason. Dwell in the land and cultivate. While you're there, be faithful. Do good stuff. Bloom where you're planted is another way that it's said sometimes. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm working at a job that I don't want, and so I don't care how I act. I don't care if I'm faithful. I don't care if because this is just, you know, I don't want to be here. And God's saying, wherever you're at, be all there. Be all in. Do the best that you can. I had a job back in the 70s when I was going to the University of Florida. I worked at a restaurant as a waiter, a little restaurant called Dutch Pantry. Does anybody remember Dutch Pantry? There's a Walgreens there now. It's basically Tower Road and Newbury Road. Now, I actually didn't like that job. I didn't like being a waiter. I didn't want to be a waiter. I just needed the money, right? I'm in school. I'd work maybe 3 or 4 or 5 nights a week to make enough money to pay my rent. But I was a young Christian, and I made up my mind. I said, I am going to be the best waiter the world has ever seen. Now, it wasn't so, I didn't want to move up in management. I didn't want to take over the restaurant. To me, it was just an opportunity to be a witness. It was very interesting being a waiter. How many have ever been a waiter or a waitress? You learn a lot about people. You learn a lot about life. And I just made up my mind, I'm going to be the best doggone waiter that ever existed. And I had a lot of fun. I had a good attitude. I always showed up early, stayed late. I got good tips. But it was amazing to me that I would say everybody in the restaurant loved me. Except Sharon, one girl, and she didn't love me. She didn't love anybody, but maybe she hated me less than everybody else. I don't know what was up with Sharon. She didn't like anybody. But the manager, he loved me. The assistant manager who scheduled, if I asked for any day off, boom, she would immediately change it. She wouldn't do that for anybody. In fact, she went to church with me. She got saved. Her 2 teenage kids got saved. The cook got saved. He was mean to everybody. He used to give me meals all the time. He'd say, hey, maybe this is my mistake. He didn't make it my mistake. He'd make it stuff for me. Yeah. I just feel like wherever you're at, if you just decide to have a good attitude, I would help him clean up at night. I didn't have to. If you were on closing, when you're done with your stuff, you go home. I would stay and help him because I would give him a ride home. And you can do stuff. Well, dwell in the land, I think, means make the most of the opportunity that you have instead of grumbling and complaining and saying, I can't wait till I get out of here. Make it so they can't stand it when you leave. When I left, people cried. I'm serious. They loved me. Everybody loved me. There was a guy that was one of the other waiters. He was gay. He loved me, and I loved him. Hit it off with it. Find something in common with somebody. I didn't have that in common with him, that he was gay, but everybody's got problems, and the thing we had in common was he had a 59 Edsel, and I had not at that time, but I once had a 59 Edsel, but his was completely restored. It was really cool, and after work, we'd go sit in his car, and I'd talk to him for hours, and he would cry, and I'd share with him. He didn't pray to receive the Lord, but I believe it had an effect on his life. So, 2 of the other waitresses got saved. If you make the best of where you're at, God will use it, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. The next thing is be faithful. So while you're dwelling in the land, be faithful. You can ever not be faithful. You can never have a bad attitude and get your dreams fulfilled. If you tell somebody you're going to be someplace, now don't throw anything at me now. I'm going from preaching to meddling, but it's in the word right here. If you tell somebody you're going to do it, do it. Amen. Just do it or call them or tell them, do your best, you know. And it's common, not just our generation. People often say that, well, that's the generation. No, it's always been a pitfall of man to not follow through on what he said he was going to do. And you and I as Christians, one of the conditions for your dream coming true is to be faithful. Show up on time. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. If there's an emergency, call, let them know. These are conditions for our dreams. Sometimes we're like, I don't know why. I've been praying. My dreams aren't coming true. I'm giving you a list for you to go back and check off where maybe the problem is. If I planted the seed and nothing's growing, did I water it? Is it in the sun? Did I fertilize it? Is it in the right soil? If it's not growing, there's a reason why it's not growing. If my dream Doesn't look like it's coming. There's some more. You're going to see weight is in there too. But I'm going to find the ones where I'm messing up. When I first moved back, when I bought the property I live on off my dad 20 years ago, I had all kinds of crummy stuff growing all over my property. And I had a guy from the University of Florida come out and analyze my soil to tell me what was missing so that it would grow properly. That's what we're doing today. You and I, I'm not doing it. You have to do it. I'm just putting the characteristics, the qualifications up here for you to look at. And you're going to find out, are you low on nitrogen, too high on hydrogen, or whatever all those are. I don't even remember. But you're looking at your heart and saying, have I done everything I can do to make sure this is going to come to pass? Or am I just waiting and it ain't going to happen because I don't have enough nitrogen in the soil and this is never going to grow here? I got to check my heart, all right? So be faithful. Then verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. So the next thing is to, I'll give you another page. You already got those, right? This is the verse we started at. Delight in the Lord. I'm just using shorthand. You get the idea here. Delight in the Lord. You know, I found in life, we delight in so many things. I mean, advertising is set to go after your desires, your heart, to get you, you know, isn't that what it is? You need this. You're not going to be happy unless you have this thing. And we can buy into that and delight in so many things. But the Bible says to delight yourself in the Lord. Delight in so many. What about God? What about delighting in God? You know what the thing about God is? He will never let you down. Never, never. People will let you down. Come on. If it hasn't happened to you yet, just come and talk to me. I'll tell you something. People will let you down. God will never let you down. If you put your delight in him, he'll never let you down. Verse 5. Excuse me. Commit your way to the Lord. So that's the next one. Now. Two T's or one? I think we'll just give it one. That's enough. It only needs one today. Commit your way to the Lord. Now, what's that all about? I think to me that says, just go all in. Commit. Are you committed to God or are you just kind of checking him out? You don't dabble with God. You don't check, see if he's. Now, there can be a time when you're checking it out. You know, is this, what is this Christianity thing? But sooner or later, and it shouldn't take years, sooner or later, you need to commit to God. You need to go all in. You need to say, I'm not turning back. I'll never turn back. Commit your way to the Lord. All your ways. Check your ways. Are my ways lining up with God, what he wants? Go all in with God. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. So we already said that one, so I'm not going to write it twice. But you might put a check after that because some of these things he says a couple times. And what? He will do it. See, we got our part. He will do his part. Verse 6. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. Yeah, the things that you do in secret, don't worry. One day God's going to reward you openly. That's what the Bible says. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. So there's another one. That's a tough one. Rest. You say, that ought to be easy. Not always. Not always, because when things aren't going the way we want, we try to make it happen. And there are things that we have to do. Obviously, the Bible says a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So, yeah, we're responsible for that. But there's things only God can do, and we need to leave those in God's hands. That's why we're looking at this. And things I have to do. So let's work on the things I have to do and let God take care of the stuff that he has to do. And so there's a time when you rest in the Lord. Now, I will tell you, that takes faith. That takes faith. That goes back to trust. I'm resting, not because I'm lazy, but because I know who's who. I know what God has to do, and I know that I've done what I have to do, and I'm checking my heart, and that takes faith to rest. So rest in the Lord. Wait. Uh-oh, watch this one. Rest in the Lord. This is the tough one. This is really a tough one. It's maybe just for me. I don't know about you guys, but I can relate to this one. Watch this. Wait patiently. Ooh. So it doesn't just say wait, it tells you how to wait. I'm going to be honest. This is a tough one for me. Yeah. It's tough for me to wait. Really tough for me to wait patiently. Oh, I just don't like this. Now watch this. What the Lord showed me this week. Waiting takes discipline. Waiting patiently takes faith. So you need both. Just waiting takes discipline because it's like, no, just wait. Just wait. But you can wait and not wait patiently. You can wait impatiently, and so then I'm not fulfilling the requirement. So to wait patiently is, it's okay, I have faith because I believe my waiting is not in vain, it's going to happen. I'm believing for the right thing. So that's how I can wait patiently. So it takes two components. It takes discipline and it takes faith. Verse 8, cease from anger. So the next one is cease anger. Cease anger. And I'll give you the next one too, because we're going to compare these. Forsake wrath. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. We already heard that one, right? So put another check mark by do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Do you know, when you get fearful, you do dumb stuff. That's what it's saying. Oh, yeah. Do not fret. It only leads to evil, not good results. When you and I get afraid, we do dumb stuff. I've seen it. Waiting on God, coming, and then I get fearful, and I try to make it happen, and it makes matters worse. If I just wait patiently. So let's go back to cease anger, and I looked up the definition of anger in the dictionary, and here's what it is. Great annoyance, a feeling of extreme annoyance. That just really cut me to the quick this week when I was, because I think, well, I'm not that bad. You know, I've controlled my temper. I haven't punched anybody in about 40 years. Well, 35, something like that. I've controlled my anger. I used to have a real bad temper, and I feel like, you know, I've mastered that. But annoyance, I haven't mastered that. Not getting annoyed, I get annoyed. Anybody ever get annoyed? Anger is extreme annoyance. What's he saying about that? What he told me this week was when I'm annoyed, it's just pride. Jesus never got annoyed because he saw the end of what was going on and he cared about people and he loved people and he didn't allow it to annoy him. He never got in the flesh. Getting annoyed is getting in the flesh. I don't know if that hits you, but the way it hit me, but that really messed me up this week. Even getting annoyed is keeping me from fulfilling my dreams. Now look at what wrath is. Forsake wrath. Wrath is fury often marked with a desire for vengeance. So even though I don't do anything, but I have it in my heart, I'm going to, get them, God. Even just get them, God. Now, we need to leave, Bible says vengeance is the Lord's. Vengeance is a mindset, the Lord. We need to leave it to God. But even the attitude, we ought to just pray for them and just commit them to the Lord. Let him decide whether they need vengeance or not. But so wrath is a whole other level of anger. Anger is just being annoyed. Wrath is being annoyed, obviously, by a person to the point where you wish them evil. You wish something bad on them. Amen or oh my. I'm just trying to help you guys here today. All right. I want you. Remember, I said I want your dreams to come true. You didn't know it was going to be so hard to get your dreams come true. But it's got to be possible or he wouldn't be showing us all this stuff. Verse 9, for evildoers, they'll be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. How many want to inherit the land? What he's talking about, inherit the land, is destiny, dreams, and desires. Everybody's got a land. It may not be physical land. It may be. But it's destiny, dreams, and desires are your land. They will possess the land, the promised land. Destiny, dreams, and desires. So if we do the right things, what will happen? You'll inherit your destiny, your dreams, and your desires. Verse 10, yet a little while, the wicked man will be no more. Don't worry, God's got it all. But he's going to forgive him. Yes, he will. But don't forget, righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Yet a little while, the wicked will be no more, and look carefully for his place. He won't be there. God knows how to take care of it. Verse 11, this is the last one in the series, and this kind of wraps it all up. But the humble, because that's one more, so you got now one more. Humble is getting low. I think you can see it. Humble. Oh, this is it. That's like 10 sermons right there, just that one word, right? And we've got to work on being humble, so we're not going to really be able to really dig into that, but you and I have to work on being humble, yeah. We're just going to have to work on that. You know, being humble, that's not basically not to think more highly of yourself than you ought, but to think, put other people, push other people up, desire for other people, desire that other people be blessed, giving, being humble, not thinking that you're all that and a bag of chips. The result is your dreams will be fulfilled, your destiny achieved, you'll have contentment. So that's what he's saying. The humble will inherit the land, so we already talked about that, and what else? And will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. You see how it all works together. It's the same thing as verse 4. That's why it's the end to this little passage. He's coming back to this. The humble, the one who does this whole list of things, what's going to happen? You'll inherit the land, you'll walk into your destiny, your dreams and your desires, and delight yourself abundant prosperity. It's not just prosperity, it's abundant, more than enough to be a blessing to other people. That's why God told us this. That's why I'm sharing with this stuff with you. So let's go back over our list. We got them on the overhead in case you missed any or you want to write them down on the back there. How to make all your dreams come true. Number one was don't fret. The next one was don't be envious. The next one was to trust in God. Next is dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness, delight in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, rest in the Lord, wait patiently, cease from anger, forsake wrath, and be humble. Did anybody find something that you need to work on? That's the goal. Find something. Got to be one. It may be more than one. You may not be able to handle more than one right now. If you could just work on that one, I'm just encouraging everybody here today, find one, at least one, that you can work on. And what will be the result? We'll have our dreams fulfilled. We'll have an abundance for every good deed. We will dwell in the land. We will prosper and have an abundance and enough left over to bless others. Anybody get anything out of this today? Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that your word instructs us. It teaches us. It encourages us. It corrects us. Lord, we're glad that your word points out areas of our life that we need to change. We're not standing here today saying we're perfect and we're all that and there's nothing we need to change. We're on a journey, Lord. You know that. You know our flesh. You know what we struggle with. You're not freaked out by the things that we struggle with. You're not upset by them. You're wanting to help us. So we're here today asking for your help. Help me grow in this area. Just think of the one area that you want to change in and grow in. And just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, help me grow in this area. Show me something practical that I can do every day to grow in this area. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got an important question for you today, and that is, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today, you say, I don't know, I think so, I hope so. Does anybody really know? Yeah? That's a pretty important consequence to not be sure of, and the Bible says you need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life, by an act of your own free will, you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins and come live on the inside of you and make you into a new person and tell him, I'm going to follow you from now on. That's what it means to be a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to make a decision in your heart. Nobody can force you to be a Christian. Nobody can make the decision for you. If you're not sure if you die tonight, you'd go to heaven. That's why you're here today. You might be here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God. I want to get back on track with God. I mean business with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand so I can pray for you. But if either one of those two applied to you and you mean business with God, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody else? You mean business with God? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.